Greetings. Welcome to the Joy of Discovery radio program, brought to you by the family of the Claysburg Bible Church. I'm Pastor Keith Showalter, and it's great to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery. And as I do every week, I will offer to you again, if you would ever desire a copy of any of our programs, all you need to do is write to us. Whenever you write to us, make sure you include the date of the program that you desire and write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Immler, Pennsylvania, 16655. And I'll get you that address again at the end of the program. Before we get to our study today, let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we need you today. We need the Spirit of God to open our hearts and our minds, and Lord, to teach and instruct us as we work our way through this marvelous letter. Lord, what a privilege it is to study your word. What a privilege it is just to know you. What a blessing. And so, Father, today we come and we commit this radio ministry to you, and we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Great to be with you today on the Joy of Discovery. And I'll also say this, you know, we offer our CDs, but as time goes on, people are becoming more and more tech savvy, so to speak. And so a lot of people are using flash drives. On our website, all of our messages are on there, an MP3 file that can be downloaded for free and loaded on your flash drive if you would desire that. Or you can go on to our website, claysburgbiblechurch.com, and click on the live stream, and all the messages are archived there. So what you hear on the radio, this is kind of a condensed form of what the message was in the service, because in the service, the morning service, I have more time. Here we are limited to about 27 minutes total from beginning to end. So if you go online to the service or even the MP3 file, you'll find that that might be a little bit more intense, a little bit more detailed in the studies on there than what we get on the radio. We try to get everything we can here on the radio. But anyhow, all that said to say that if you desire that, it's there if you want it. Okay, today you can open your Bible up to Revelation chapter 1, if you would. Revelation chapter 1, we're coming back to our study, and we're in verses 9 through 20 right now, in a wonderful section. Really a privilege of being able to look into this section, because in this section, we are able to see Jesus Christ in all of his glory. No other section of Scripture, no other passage is close to what we have here. The only thing close will be Revelation 19, when Jesus returns at the end of the tribulation. But that doesn't give us the details of what is here. So we are looking at the vision, and this is the vision part 3. And so in John's vision, he's on the island of Patmos, and he's there because of his testimony and because of the word of God, his stand on the word of God. He's there. He's in a very dark time in his life, an island of marble where they mined marble, hard labor, very little food, slept in caves, difficult. It would have been the Alcatraz of Rome is what it would have been. But he is there, and so in the midst of that darkness, God transports him, gives him this vision, transports him to the day of the Lord, to see all these events that are yet future, and then to document those so that we have that in our Bibles for us to study. We are looking at the current time, we're looking at that vision that he has that starts starting in about verse 10 is where he starts to describe it and goes through verse 20. But we're looking at the position, we looked at the position of our Lord last week. That was 12 through 13. We see this, and I turned to see the voice of him that spake with me, and being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks. Now, verse 20 tells us that those are the 7 churches. They are the 7 churches, and rightly so, being pictured as candlesticks, because candlesticks are the churches, the light of the world. So that that just fits so well. And then verse 13, it says, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. So we're looking at we see the position of our Lord in this vision. He's in the midst of the candlesticks, in the midst of the churches, and therefore we can conclude that he's ever in the midst of us. Remember, the seven churches, this letter was not just for those seven churches, but the number seven is the number of completeness, perfection. So this letter is for the complete body of Christ. It is not just limited to those seven churches, but they are representative of the entire body of Christ. And so this letter is for all of us. We also looked last week at the present ministry of our Lord. In 1:13, if we read it all, it says, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. We were able to see there Jesus dressed as our great high priest in his high priestly garments. And that's his current ministry today. Is to be the our great high priest. And so as the great high priest, there are a couple things that are his responsibility, as the high priest in the Old Testament would have had a responsibility. One was to make sure the lamps were trimmed so that they gave the proper amount of light and that the light was not any way distorted. And so our Lord, one of his jobs is to trim what is in our lives, to keep, make sure that there are not things there that will veil the light, so to speak, you and I being the light of the world. John 15:1-2, Jesus said, I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. He trims it. He prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And that's God's responsibility, or God's desire, that we bear fruit for him and to continue to bear more and more fruit. And that would be the fruit of the Spirit, because you got to understand, Jesus is the vine. He says in verse 1, he's the true vine. We are the branches. The branches don't bear fruit of themselves. What produces the fruit on the branch, and by the way, we are the branch. What produces fruit on the branch is the sap that flows through the vine out into the branch. The sap in that picture could be seen as the Holy Spirit. And so as he flows through us, he produces the fruit. That's why it's called the fruit of the Spirit. It's his fruit. It's not our fruit. But ultimately, we get pruned so that there is more and more of that fruit, and ultimately so that the light is not veiled, that we shine in the midst of a dark and perverse world. The second thing that we talked about, Christ, Jesus, his responsibility is our great high priest, is to intercede for his people. And Hebrews 7:23-25, we read this, and they truly were many priests, the writer speaking about the priests of the Old Testament. There were many of them, it says, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. And the reason was they died. You know, that's why you had to have so many of them, because one would raise up and he would be a high priest and he would die, and so another one would have to take his place, and so on and so forth throughout all those years. Okay, but Jesus was different. It says, but this man, Hebrews 7:24, but this man, Jesus, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Okay, so our high priest, okay, is our high priest. He died as our Savior. He was resurrected, and now he'll never die again. So he is in his high priestly office. And so he will continue there as long as we need him. Okay, verse 25 says, wherefore, okay, considering that he is our high priest, wherefore he's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, listen, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So, okay, there's nobody that can bring an accusation against us that would cause us to lose our salvation. Satan is the great accuser, but the highest court known, which is God the Father and God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the highest court intercedes for us. So nobody can bring an accusation against us that is going to stick, because the high court stands for us. And Jesus, when there's an accusation brought, he steps up and he will say, yeah, but I died for that sin. I died for this. That somebody, Satan might say, look what this sheep's doing over here. And Jesus can say, yes, but I died for that sin. That sin's been paid for by my blood that I shed upon the cross when I died upon the cross. That brings us to where we are today. Watch verse 14, if you would. We get a little bit more detailed description. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. Now, boy, we can read right over top of that, and we can miss so much if we're not careful. And when I look at this, I see 3 points of ministry concerning our Lord within the verse. Let us remember that as we examine our Lord in the midst of the candlesticks, we're seeing Jesus in his present ministry within the church. Don't miss that. Okay, that's why I said this passage is absolutely amazing. Okay, you're not going to find anything else like it. So when you're seeing him, you got to understand that you're seeing Jesus in his present ministry in the midst of the church. The white hair, okay, now listen. The white head and the white hair speak of wisdom and purity. I want to take a little bit of time to consider both of those, if I could. First of all, he is the source of wisdom to the church. He's the source of wisdom. Okay, let me read verse 14. His head and his hairs were white like wool, white as snow. So it's talking about wisdom and it's talking about purity. So he is the source of the wisdom for the church because he's in the midst of the church. Daniel 7:9 says this, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and his hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. In the Bible, white hair is a sign of wisdom and honor. So the white head and hair speak of the wisdom of our Lord. Let me give you a foundation for a thought, if I could. Colossians 1, 14 through 14 and 18, it says this, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Okay, now listen to me. Stay with me. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and it is from the head of the body that we get the wisdom which we need to pass through this world. Just like today, and okay, take your natural body, okay? You use your head to think through situations. Your head communicates to your limbs. Your brain communicates to your limbs what needs to be done. Tells your feet to walk, tells your hands to move, to do this, to do that, okay? And it's the same way in the body of Christ. The wisdom is in the head. Christ is the head. The wisdom is in the head. His present, one of his present ministries is to give us the wisdom that we need. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Jesus is just waiting to give you and I the wisdom that we need. A lot of people don't go to him because they know that the answer that they get from God's word, ultimately from the Lord, is not what they want. So they will often go out into the world to get an answer, to get advice from somebody that'll give them advice that fits with their fleshly desires. our Lord waits. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. Promise. Promise. God will give us the wisdom that we need. Listen to Job 28, 12 through 23. Rather long passage, but listen to this. It says, But where shall wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth saith, it is not in me, and the sea saith, it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, and with the precious onyx or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it, and the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom? And where is the place of understanding? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all the living and kept close from the fowls of the air. Destruction and death say, we've heard the fame thereof with our ears. Listen to the next verse. God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. Jesus Christ is our source of wisdom, and we are to look to him for the wisdom which we need as we face the decisions of life. Let me give you something to think about. Okay, this is kind of off to a side note, and I don't know what this is going to do for our time, but you need to hear this. In our studies on Sunday night at our church, we are currently going through we're studying the life of Moses, just kind of combing through his life and grabbing on to as much as what we can possibly get. But this past week in our church, I talked about Moses' decision to walk away from the palace in Egypt. He was 40 years old. He was raised in a palace. He refused possessions, popularity, power, pleasures. He refused all that. And then I raised this question. What motivated him? What motivated him? And the motivation was faith. The writer of Hebrews tells us by faith he made that choice. But then you got to ask this, where did that come from? Where did all that come from? And so you got to go back and you got to understand that after he was found in the ark, that he was given back to his mom to nurse him. And so she had him for several years. We don't know how long, 6 to 10 years maybe at the max. But in those 6 to 10 years that his parents invested into his life, the riches of the promises of God. Moses then went off. He was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter, and he went into the palace, and he was learned in the ways of the Egyptians. This guy exceeded all others. He rose above, head and shoulders above other people. He was taught so much, and he absorbed it all. But you want to know something? It wasn't what he learned in the palace that made him a great man. It was what he learned at home from his parents that made him a great man and sheltered him, not sheltered him, but gave him the strength to walk away from the darkness of that palace. The word of God, the wisdom that they gave to him from God. Listen, the best thing you can give to your kids is an education in the word of God, to give to them the wisdom of God's word. Jesus is waiting. Our Lord is waiting. He's just waiting for you to say, I need wisdom in this situation, because he gives to all men liberally and he upbraideth not. He will give you what you need. Let me go on. We're still talking about our Lord in his white hair and his white head. And so that's a sign of wisdom and purity. So he gives wisdom to the church. But number two, he's working to purify the church. Not only do the white hair and the white head speak of wisdom, it also speaks of the purity. Now, positionally in Christ, we're perfect. In Hebrews 10:14, it says, For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So positionally we're perfect, but our practice doesn't always match our position. And for that reason, our Lord is working to purify our lives every single day. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So he started a work in us, and he will continue that work until it is completed. Isaiah 48:10 says, behold, I've refined thee, but not with silver. I've chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Isaiah 1:25 says, I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away thy dross and take away all thy tin. Proverbs 25:4, take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Here's the point. Our Lord takes us through the difficult times in order to purify us, in order to purge away the dross from our lives. Malachi 3:3a, listen to this. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. You got to listen to this story. I heard a story connected to that verse, Malachi 3:3. And it was told of a ladies Bible study, and they were planning to study that very verse, Malachi 3:3, the next time they came together. So one of the ladies decided to visit a silversmith to ask the silversmith some questions about his work. She asked him to explain how he refined the silver. He explained to her that he placed the silver in the fire and then he would sit and he would watch. He told her that he had to be very careful that the silver did not get too hot, for then it would compromise the quality of the silver. And so it had to be just the right temperature. And the lady began to glow, and she said, that explains Malachi 3:3 when it says that God shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. She could not wait to get to the study and share with the other ladies what she had discovered and explain to them that God watches very carefully when we're in the fire of affliction and he controls the heat of the fire. But just as she was ready to leave, the silversmith said there was more. He told her that there was a way in which he could tell when the silver was perfectly refined. He explained that when the silver was perfectly refined, he was able to see his reflection in the silver. That's what God does in our lives. That's what he does. God allows you and me to go through the furnace of affliction, and it can be very painful. But we must know that he is the one who controls the heat. He can turn the heat up or he can turn the heat off. Now, we must also understand that just as the silversmith's goal is to see his reflection in the silver, so it's God's purpose to refine us so that he can see his reflection within us. You see, there are many things in this life that keep Christ from being seen in us. And so God must expose us to the furnaces of affliction in order to burn away the dross from our lives. And it's then that Jesus can be seen. That's what he wants to do. Our Lord is the purifier. He's got this white head and he's got these white hairs, white as wool and white as snow. And it speaks of wisdom and it speaks of purity. He uses that wisdom whenever he purifies you and I. Watch verse 14 again. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. Fire in the Word of God speaks of judgment. 1 Corinthians 3:13 says this, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So when we see our Lord with the eyes as a flame of fire, we can conclude that he's looking in judgment. His eyes are piercing and penetrating as he looks upon his church. He misses nothing. Nothing which happens within our lives. This thought also connects to the previous thought about the purifying. You see, Jesus looks into our lives at all times, and it's his desire that we're to live separated lives. We're to be separated from the world and the practices of the world, but there are times whenever we get entangled in the world. When this happens, Jesus is fully aware. Remember what the woman at the well said concerning Jesus. John 4:28-29, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith unto the man, come see a man, listen to this, which told me all things that ever I did. He knew it all. He knew it all. Because he had those eyes that could see into the midst of our lives. Then we need to remember what it said concerning Jesus and the religious leaders. Matthew 12:25 says, and Jesus knew their thoughts. So when Jesus watches his church with piercing eyes, if need be, he judges the sin in our lives. Hebrews 12:6-11, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you're bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which correct us. We gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for a profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Here's the point. We have a high priest, we in the midst of us. He is the purifier of silver, and he sits as a silversmith, and he turns the heat up in our lives to purify us. Then he gives us the wisdom we need. We have a great high priest. I'm out of time today. I'm out of time. There's so much more to be said, but time does not permit. So I just want to thank you for joining us on the Joy of Discovery radio program. Again, if you would ever desire a copy of anything that you hear, we'll send you a CD for free. All you need to do is write to us. Make sure you include the date of the program that you desire and write to Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. That's Claysburg Bible Church, 11751 William Penn Road, Imler, Pennsylvania, 16655. Until we meet around the radio, or we see you in church, might you have a blessed week.